Okay, this is Jerry Daniels. I'm here with Sarah Reichelt, and toward the end of the podcast, she'll tell you a little about what she does and where you can find her and all that good stuff, and I'll do the same. And we're going to talk today about hands-on with the iPhone 7. Sarah has gotten one of these little critters, and her husband Tim has gotten a 7S, I believe, and Sarah's gotten a 7. Is that correct, Sarah?
Tim has ordered the 7 Plus, but it hasn't arrived yet, so you're only going to, yeah, so you can only hear about the 7 today.
Oh, pity that. Sadness.
Yeah.
Sad, sad, sad. Well, give my condolences to Tim. It's a sad day when a man or a woman cannot get the iPhone they ordered immediately.
I know. Very sad.
Yeah. I hope he hasn't been too out of sorts.
No, he's accepting of it. He did suggest that perhaps I should leave mine boxed up until he's arrived, but I ignored that suggestion.
Yeah, well, you guys have 4 kids. You know how to deal with situations like that.
Only 3.
Really? Why did I think 4?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. So, you would know.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so let's talk about, what color did you get?
I got the matte black, not the jet black, but the more conventional black. Mm-hmm. I really like, when using an iPhone, I really like the front to be black, not white.
And that
rules out the other 3 colors, the silver and the gold and the rose gold. Although I like the silver one. If the silver one came with a black front, I would go for silver.
That's almost like a retro.
Yeah, but
it's almost going back to 1.
Black front. Oh, yeah. I didn't have a 1. They didn't really work on the networks in Australia. So
that's right. The 3G,
I think it was.
Mm.
Anyway. So with wanting the black front, that really brought it down to just the shiny jet black or the standard black. And we both went for the standard black.
Really? I thought at least one of you would go for shiny.
Yeah, Tim was talking about going for shiny, and then we decided against it. Actually, I went online to order them from our phone carrier. They came released on 5 p.m. on Friday a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't get online until about 6, and all the jet blacks were already gone.
Wow. That kind of says it all. I know it's really super popular, and I think the popularity actually went up. Those people who follow John Gruber to any extent were heartened to hear how grippy it was.
Yes, I haven't actually seen or touched one in the wild. You know, I should go into the Apple Store and have a look just for comparative purposes.
Yeah.
So I was the shiny one is going to scratch or get these micro abrasions, as they call it.
Yes.
But I don't know. I'll be interested to see it when I actually get to see one.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp as Gruber and a number of other people. I used to work in leather a lot during my college years, and you know, I really liked it when I made something out of leather, and I'd sell it to a customer, and then I'd see it 2 or 3 years later, and it, you know, had really gotten beat up in all kinds of different ways that I could never have imagined, and it really looked cool, you know. And I think people feel that way about some of the finishes on their personal gadgets. And in particular, you know, a lot of people feel that way about the iPhone. They liked the scratches.
Oh.
I'm also not a fingerprint.
Well, as long as they're not on the glass.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I'm also not a fingerprint nut. I mean, you know, some people are. They have a conniption fit if they have fingerprints on their screen. I rarely clean the screen of my devices to any extent. I can't see anything when I turn it on, so you know, I'm kind of that school. So I'm kind of easy going about the appearance of my devices to some extent. I don't want them, you know, really beat up, but I don't mind a little wear.
Well, I certainly agree with you about the fingerprints. You can, I mean, they're touch devices. They're bound to get fingerprints. I notice if I go outside and it's bright, that's when I see the fingerprints, and I give it a bit of a wipe at that point. But mostly I don't bother.
I think that's probably something that's going to fade away within, you know, a short time, I think, this year or next year. Is two things. Number, the oleopathic surface is getting better and better, I've been told. And I think, you know, because I've got some newer devices that are easy to, simple wipe with almost anything gets debris off of it quickly, you know, other than just prints. The other thing would be, I think this business with changing the screen in subtle ways so that it looks better in certain lighting situations will sooner or later get perfected so that it'll look good outside. That's what I think.
Well, I would agree with you there. The Series 2 Apple Watch has a much brighter screen designed for better outdoor viewing.
Yeah.
And as you said, the latest iPads have the, what do they call it, that True Tone?
True Tone.
The lighting
true
that
color.
Varies
yeah.
to
true
match
tone,
your,
right.
To match the current lighting situation you're in. And putting those two together, that's bound to come to the phone, and
better
all-around display.
Plus night shift, you know, right? You know, there's a whole thing. There's three things actually. I think part of it is which the stuff we were just talking about with the True Tone, but also there's two other things. One is in general, the screen changes its brightness according to the lighting situation around it. I've noticed that with my new iPad, newer iPad. And then the other thing, too, is that, you know, there's a night shift stuff, too, which is interesting because it changes the tone quality of the color. It makes, you know, colors that are more conducive to sleep, et cetera. So I think they're getting into this whole, we're going to make this screen. It started with Retina, and I think it's just going to keep going in as many different axes as they can think of, and that are useful, of course.
Yes, I completely agree. And also, I think one big change with the iPhone 7 is the home button. And it's no longer is physically pressed. It's like the new trackpads where it's kind of a software press, but you get a haptic feedback to make you think you've pressed it.
Does it feel to you like the old button, or no? Not like the trackpads do, I bet.
It's much more like the trackpads than the old button. The first few times I pressed it when I got the 7, I thought, whoa, this is really weird. I don't feel like I'm pressing it at all.
Right.
And then at some stage during the setup, you get asked to choose the level of haptic feedback you'd like. There's 1, 2, 3. And I went for 3. And now I'm really used to it. So you put your thumb on the button and you kind of push and you get a little, you know, shake back to show you that you've actually pushed a button.
Well, you know, I think it's just great that Tim Cook took that Johnny Ives feature out where he was going to actually put a small electrical charge through it. I think that's good he took that out.
Well, yeah,
Johnny was having a bad day. Yeah,
well, that would have been a very bad day. But
yeah, that white room will get to you.
It would, but to link this back into our discussion of screens, I think this is just a step on the way of getting us used to a more virtual home button. So I would expect in the next iPhone or perhaps the one after that the whole face of the iPhone will be screen and the button will be a soft button. A software button only.
Well, I tell you what, toward the end, let's circle around. Two things we have to do at the end of the podcast, and you're a good timekeeper, so I'll count on you to keep us honest on this. One is let's talk about what we think is going to happen next year, because I think all this is foreshadowing, as you said. The last 2 years have been foreshadowing for this 10th anniversary iPhone. And then secondly, let's remember to do our credits and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you
all
don't
right.
mind.
Well, back to the not at all. Back to the actual iPhone 7 itself, I guess the big feature that everybody was very excited about was the lack of the headphone jack.
Yeah. Have you seen the videos of people drilling holes into the thing? Trying to find out. There's a fake jack inside. Maybe I can make it work.
Currently I'm using, to create this podcast, we don't have fancy podcasting microphones or set up. We're just using our iPhones. And I'm using the standard earbuds provided with the phone plugged into the Lightning jack. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that getting very good sound quality.
You like them?
I like the sound quality. I've got quite small ears, and the earbuds have never really been comfortable for me for an extended period. They just start to hurt mm-hmm. after a little while. So we shall see. But I would love to be able to use the new AirPods when they come out. I think they are so neat.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I that's another thing that we'll, in the future conversation, we could talk about those, because that's something.
Well, that's not very future, that's just next month, I think.
No, I mean, next year, that's a platform.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you, having had a recent, very bad experience desperately trying to get a pair of Bluetooth headphones paired to an iPhone, I am never going to buy another pair of Bluetooth headphones that don't have Apple's W1 chip or whatever the latest equivalent is to handle the pairing for me.
Yeah, I have to agree. As I think I mentioned to you, at least on another phone conversation, I'm not sure we recorded it as a podcast, but I've only had one device that does a decent job with Bluetooth at all, and it's still, you know, cranky. That's my clam case. Case and keyboard. That's about the only thing. And they had to juice it up. It took them 3 years to get it right. So it's not easy.
Yeah. It definitely is not easy. I have, on my Mac, I have the Bluetooth trackpad and keyboard, the latest versions that charge via Lightning cable. And they're very good. And they paired without any issues. And but even then, they occasionally lose the link, and you push the button and it gets back. But they're way better than anything that's been before. But
I think a lot of that's build quality, don't you?
It could well be. It's a combination, I think, of build quality and being able to control both sides of the equation.
True that. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Pray continue.
Oh, well, the AirPods with their little, you know, sort of tic-tac case that you flick open and then it automatically pairs, that's very cool. I do worry slightly about losing one, because there's no, you know, there's no cord joining the two. You've got this fairly small little device sticking in your ear. But all the reviews say that they're comfortable and that they stick. Encouragingly, from my point of view, people who say, no, I never have been able to use the standard Apple earbuds, they never fitted right, they say, I am using these AirPods and they do work.
Well, that begs the question, why didn't they use the same fit for the ones that are in the case, in the box, the ones you got?
I don't know. Is it that they're the same, but just without the drag of the cable on them, you can adjust them better, and there's no nothing trying to pull them out?
Well, this is going to be, you're going to get a set of these, or at least look at them at the store, I assume.
Yes, and if they don't work, we'll probably get a pair of the Beats earbuds with the W1 chip for pairing.
Right. Well, that'll help with that, and that'll be good. But yeah, I would, you know, if you do get a fit and it seems kind of mysterious as to why, I would love it if you could take some snaps, some photos of the two, and we kind of give it your eyeball and tell me, hey,
yes,
here's the delta between these things, or none, you know, so therefore it must be the drag of the cable.
Yes, you're right. That would be a very interesting comparison to make.
Yeah, we can chat about that. Cool.
Okay. Well, okay. So that's the headphone socket issue, which is really not an issue as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Especially given the price of the extender, yeah, the adapter.
Well, that came with the box as well.
I know. But I mean, given the fact that if you want to buy five more, it's not going to break the bank.
That is true, yes. Now, I haven't actually tried plugging in I haven't used that adapter. I've only tried the Lightning earbuds yet. There was a there were reports early on of the Lightning headphones losing contact, but there was a software update 10.0.2 that apparently fixed that, although I never encountered it.
Okay. I'm with you.
Okay, so on to other features. Well, firstly, you should remember that I only get a new phone every 2 years because of the way our phone contracts work. So I'm upgrading from a 6, not a 6S. So there are certain features that were in the 6S, but they're new to me. Things like the Force Touch, 3D Touch, or now they just call it Press. Apple can't seem to make up their mind what to call that. And the live photos, which are pretty cool.
Tell me about the live photos. You're talking about the live photos where it's like a GIF almost.
Yes, exactly. It's just it's only a few seconds. But so when you have the live setting on and you take a picture, it effectively records, you know, 2 seconds before and 2 seconds after. And so you get it's like a GIF, which is pretty cute. And you can actually make that your desktop picture, too.
Yeah. Ooh, fancy. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so you're doing a little bit of catch-up because of your contracts and your phone company down there in Australia. Understood.
Yes, yeah. So the camera, we still have the protruding camera out the back, but it is... It looks now more, the protrusion is more sculpted. It's like they're saying, you know, this isn't just an accident. This is what we want it to look like.
intentional.
Yeah. I still worry about, you know, putting the iPhone down on its back, which effectively means it's leaning on the lens.
Yeah, so a lot of pressure gets on the lens.
Yeah, well, or if you just put it down on a surface with grit or anything on it that could scratch it. So I have
a case.
Isn't
it sapphire?
I don't know. I'd hope so.
I think it is. I'm not positive, but I think it is for some reason. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Well, it's resistant to scratches, but you can still get smudges on the lens, which are not going to be good for your photographs. Anyway, I have a case. I have a fully transparent sort of rubberized case. So it gives me a bit of protection so that the camera's not leaning on anything and gives me a bit of grip.
Cool.
But it still exposes the full look of the phone because it's just transparent.
Right.
So that's my case strategy for this case.
Could you do me a big favor and give us a picture with and without of that, and I'll put that as the cover art for the podcast.
I will do that. As soon as we've finished, I will take a couple of photos and send them for you.
Thank you.
Okay. So one design feature which has not changed, which I wish would change, is the fact that the power button is on the side of the iPhone opposite the volume buttons. So the tendency is, for me at least, to change the volume while you're trying to turn the iPhone off or on.
I do that constantly, and when I try not to, I feel like I'm going to get a tremendous cramp in my hand.
Yeah, you're right. You have to sort of hold the phone weirdly and to make sure you don't do that.
Yeah.
And when the phones used to have the power button on the top, and I felt that was much more logical.
Yep.
I wish they'd put it back there.
I agree.
Now, this phone has what my 6 didn't have, but the 6S has had, I think, once you got iOS 10, which is the wake on raise. So you've only got to lift the phone up and the screen comes on.
I like that.
I like
you?
That, especially with iOS 10, where the unlocked screen now has a lot of information on it, so you don't always want to go in and unlock straight away.
Right. I mean,
and
I feel the same way. I don't have that. Right. Yeah, I don't have that either, I feel the same way about the screen itself. You know, before you even turn the phone on, there's a tremendous amount of information on it.
Yeah. In fact, I was a bit worried about the privacy implications of that.
Sure.
But that is something we can discuss in our iOS 10 podcast.
Right.
So,
cool.
What else?
Yeah, so we talked about the cover. We talked about the camera. You haven't said much about the actual quality of the photos, and I realize that's software, but and what have you, and iOS 10 stuff, conceivably. But that is a new lens, and it should be taking really stellar pictures. Have you had a chance to take many?
It's a new lens, and it's also a new image processing chip, I understand.
Mm.
So, yeah, I have
I've
taken quite a few photos, and the quality seems to be really good. It's pretty good in close-up. The lighting seems to be really good. I haven't taken a lot in low light situations. I want to test that because we have a digital SLR, and one of its primary features is that it's really, really good in low light situations. And as the iPhone cameras improve to the level at which we can basically ditch the digital SLRs and just use the iPhones, that's one feature that they've got to match.
Yes, and I don't know. I'm not a camera buff per se, but I seem to have the impression that you get much more low light ability with two cameras.
Well, we'll have to assess once Tim gets his 7 Plus.
Yes.
Which has the two cameras. The 7 only has the one lens, but it now does have the optical image stabilization, which in the previous versions only the Plus had.
Right. Cool.
Yeah,
if
so
we could
I
circle back for a second.
I'm not a camera buff, but I reckon the quality of the photographs is really good.
Cool. Just to circle back for a second. You said you set your home button haptic feedback or taptic feedback, whatever it is, to 3. What does that mean?
Well, it's got 3 levels of the strength of the haptic response when you push it. So, you know, basically when you push it, do you want it to give you a soft jolt back, a moderate jolt back, or its maximum jolt back into your finger? And I chose the
3
maximum,
is maximum
jolt back, yeah, because that made it feel more like I was really pushing the button.
Gotcha. Now, yeah, I just listened to a podcast with Gruber and Serenity Caldwell, and they were talking about the Google Ventures guy, who's a friend of Gruber's. I forget his name now. But in any case, he's a big advocate of 1. And it was Ben Thompson from Stratechery who said, you know, try 1, you know, and get used to it because, you know, he feels like things are moving in that direction, that's the future, et cetera, not trying to mimic a button at all. He has strong feelings about what's going to happen next, and that kind of like, you know, the difference between clicking and tapping on the trackpads that we got used to a few years ago. He feels like it's going to be something like that. And he is a big advocate of one. I'm not sure why. I can't wait to get my hands on one of these myself so I can try and figure that out. But yeah, if you tend to play around with it, I'd like to know, you know, what you think, of course.
Yeah, well, I'm like at three at the moment, three. And once I get used to it, I may reduce it down to two or even one.
Right.
But certainly for the initial stage when I was feeling that I'm not pushing this button at all, I wanted the maximum feedback.
Sure. Understandable. Totally.
Okay.
And
well,
battery life,
time,
good? Battery life, good?
Battery life seems to be excellent.
Oh, really? Better? Do you notice it?
I haven't been in a situation where I've had to worry about it yet. But, you know, most days I don't. It's more sort of when you go on holiday and you might have to go for, you know, 14 hours without, then that's when you really notice it. So I'll keep an eye on it, but far no problems.
Also at work, you know, you have to sometimes photograph stuff that's in hard-to-reach places, like underneath equipment and what have you, to get a serial number or a part identified. And I bet that if you are getting better low light, I bet that's going to be huge.
Yeah, well, that's something I really want to test. So I'll report back on that one.
Yeah. Super duper. Okay, let's talk about the future briefly.
Well,
what does this portend to you?
I think the biggest change I see is the whole front going full screen with no physical home button at all.
I also wonder what's going to happen to all the other buttons.
Ah, you? Well, yeah. And we already discussed the annoyance with the power button being where it is. The mute button, I don't see why you need that, a physical mute button, since you can get to it through Control Center. And the up and down volume buttons, much the same. I reckon they could get rid of everything except just the single power button.
Could. But also, you know, they might do something really crazy, cool, like, you know, the entire edge of the case is still smooth, but designated areas, perhaps outlined in some different material, actually indicate there's a button here, and I'll give you haptic feedback if you press on it.
Yeah. Well, like the home button is. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And then the other future thing, I think, is what you are heading for, which is that there might not be a headphone socket at all. There might only be Bluetooth. And if we had that and inductive charging, you wouldn't need a cable socket at all.
Yeah, and that's something that appeals to me tremendously. I would be willing to endure quite a bit in order to get a feature like that. I'm so tired of charging all these things I have.
Yes, it would be great if, you know, you just had to plonk them down on the table and know that they were charging there.
Yeah, it would be huge. And, I'm with you. I don't need a cable. But, you know, saying they did that, they would also need to include the wireless headphones in the box.
Yes, definitely.
And that would mean they've got to find a way to make those at a much lower cost and not sacrifice any quality.
Well, there are economies of scale. You know, at some point, if they order millions of these instead of just thousands, they will become cheaper.
Right. Well, that's true.
And the other
and that's
thing
what it would
I
be,
have,
wouldn't it?
Yeah. The other thing I have with the next iPhone is it seems to the rumors seem to say that it's going to be called the iPhone 8 instead of having, you know, an iPhone instead of having an iPhone 7S like we've had every year for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, going from, you know, 4 to 4S, 5 to 5S, 6 to 6S, people are saying instead of having the 7S, we're going to have the iPhone 8 next time. Now, you mentioned that it's the 10th anniversary. Next year will be the 10th anniversary of the iPhone, so it may be that they're planning something cool.
I think so. I think it would be really cool if either get rid of the numbers or just bump everything up to 10, leave iOS 10, iOS 10, just give it some point releases, and make it the iPhone 10, 10th anniversary.
10, 10, 10. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but also,
that's our 30 minutes,
wouldn't
Jerry.
Mind if it was nothing. Okay, well, let's tell folks where they can get a hold of you. Where are you on social media, and how do you like to be reached? Et cetera. Talk about Trosware for a second.
Okay. Well, my app development company, Trosware, you can get me on the web at troz.net, T-R-O-Z.net. You can get me on Twitter at using at Trosware. And that, between the two of them, you should be able to contact me whatever you want to ask.
Good. And
you,
for
Jerry?
The Americans, for the Americans, Z is Z.
Oh, thank you. Yes, my translator over there.
Yeah, I'm Jerry Daniels, at Jerry Daniels on Twitter. And I hang out there quite a bit, so you can certainly, follow me or direct or, you know, mention me or send a tweet my way, and I'll definitely get it. And yeah, that would be Hunky Dory. And of course, I'm here on Zcast also. So fire away. And yeah, I'm a software developer also. I often work in partnership with Sarah on projects as they come up. So yeah, that's it. Sarah,
okay,
thank you.
And thank you to Raz, who has been commenting as we talk. It's been good to hear somebody at least is listening and enjoying what we're saying.
Oh, yeah, I see Raz down there. I didn't notice him. What a guy. Hey, Raz. Cool. All right. We'll catch you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.